Krishna. So we are very happy to have with us this evening His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj. So we would like to give a brief description of His Holiness Kadambakanand Maharaj. He started his spiritual life in Vrindavan, holy land of Krishna, and immediately felt at home. He became a disciple of His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj. He joined ISKCON in 1978, and shortly after Srila Prabhupada's departure, served in Vrindavan from 1978 to 84 in various capacities in management. After a one-year break from India in Australia, he returned to India, and he took charge of the construction of Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi in Mayapur and remained there for 5 years, from 85 to 90. He liked the pioneering spirit of working in India, and above all, liked to stay in the holy dham. In 1990, he became the temple president of Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan till 1995, and then he began to travel and preach around the world. And in 1997, he received the sannyas order. And these days, he's preaching in Europe, South Africa, India, and Australia, and he is still part of the VEB at Vrindavan. And we are very happy that he is here this evening to enlighten us and enliven us with his wonderful lecture and kirtan. And he's going to be speaking on the topic, the magic basket of Krishna consciousness. So let us welcome His Holiness Kadambakanand Maharaj by loudly chanting.
When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world, it is stated that he opened the storehouse of love of God, the Prema Bandir. And it is said that the Lord then, Yata Yata Piya Trishna Bade Anuksan, along with his associates, they were entering into that storehouse of love of God, and they were drinking the nectar to their full satisfaction. That is the nature of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are always absorbed in Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Bhagavatam means the descriptions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. One meaning of the word Bhagavan has been given as follows in the commentaries of Jiva Goswami. It is said that the word Bhagavan can be broken up in two syllables, or in three syllables, named Ba, Ga, and Va. So, Ba stands for Bhajaniya, Ga for Guna, and Va for Visista. Bhajaniya Guna Visista. It means he who has such wonderful qualities that you have to worship him. It's not possible to avoid worshiping Krishna. Therefore, this Krishna conscious process is very simple. Because simply by associating with Krishna in one way or other, by hearing about him, by seeing his form, by hearing descriptions about his mercy, by hearing descriptions of his pastimes, in all these ways, we are naturally becoming attracted to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not a difficult process. It's not a difficult process because it's a natural process. However, in the nectar of devotion, we find an analogy which is of interest, because in that analogy, it is said it is just like a child. For a child, walking is natural, and yet It cannot do it at first. Yet it has to be practiced. Srila Rupa Goswami explains. Walking is natural and yet it has to be learned. Yet it has to be practiced. And a child initially cannot do it. Dancing in ecstasy is natural, but it has to be learned. Glorifying Krishna is also natural because Krishna's qualities are so wonderful that it's not at all difficult to describe the amazing nature of Krishna. That is very simple. One can look in all directions and find something wonderful about Krishna. For example, let us go to Srimad Bhagavatam. And in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we get some little, a little portion of the Mahabharata. We get the situation where Aswatam has decided to kill the very last, the last of the Pandavas, so that they will become extinct by killing Maharaj Pariksit in the womb. That is his plan. For this purpose, he has unleashed the ultimate weapon, a Brahmastra. So, this weapon is coming with great speed towards the womb of Uttara, who is running towards Krishna for protection. And Krishna is personally protecting the embryo in her womb, Maharaj Pariksit. Later, we see how Maharaj Pariksit then, for an entire lifetime, is simply searching for that personality that he saw when he was within the womb. He had the darshan within the womb of the Supreme Lord, even before his birth. And after that, Maharaj Pariksit was no longer interested in any other person. Therefore, his name became Pariksit, the one who was doing a pariksha, a test upon ever he met. Is this the one I met? Pariksha. No. Is this the one? No. Is that the one? No. That one? No. No, 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 no.
Yes.
Like that, Maharaj Pariksit, he was not interested in mundane life. He had simply no interest, although he was the emperor of the world. He had no interest in mundane life. So how merciful was Krishna that he appeared in the womb to give darshan to Maharaj Pariksit. Why did he do that? We can think of different reasons. One is Maharaj Pariksit must have been a very special soul who already in last life must have been a devotee. Otherwise, why would the Lord appear this life? One could argue. But one might also consider other reasons. Another reason would be that his fathers and grandfathers, they were extraordinary personalities. And his grandfathers, he had five, they had pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one's grandfather has pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all auspiciousness will also come upon us. That is Krishna's kindness. Because Krishna recognizes relationships. Krishna knows very well that the grandson is dear to the grandfather. So, therefore, when the grandfather is his devotee, then naturally he will shower that grandchild with blessings. As simple as that. Dhruva Maharaj also, Dhruva Maharaj, at the end of his life, it is said that death appeared before him. And death offered obeisances. And at the same time, there was a transcendental plane. And Dhruva Maharaj stepped on the head of death to enter into that Vaikuntha Viman. So in this way, for Dhruva Maharaj, death was simply a stepping stone to enter into that transcendental plane. And it is said that as he entered into that transcendental plane, that his body transformed, and that at that point his body became spiritual. So then in this way, Dhruva was about to go back to Godhead, and then he thought, but wait a minute, what about my mother? And he saw immediately that there was a plane, another plane for his mother as well. Of course, his mother, Suruchi, was an extraordinary lady. Because at the time when she was insulted and humiliated in the worst possible way by her co-wife, namely, it was her child was mistreated. What could be worse? And not only was the child mistreated, the child was told, you cannot sit on your father's lap because you're born from the wrong womb. And no one can help you but the Supreme Lord. So basically, then the boy comes to his mother, tells his mother all the misery, which cuts in her heart, like every step of the way. First, her son has been not allowed to sit on the lap of his father. Then her co-wife rubs it in and lets him know that she, Suruchi, is not the favorite of the king. And Suruchi says, yes, my son, it is all true. I am not the favorite of the king. I am simply rejected by him. And it is true. It is simply true. There is no one who can help you but for the Supreme Lord. And even at that time of distress, she remembers, she takes those words, the Supreme Lord, and said, yes, only by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord can you attain perfection. That shows that she was a great personality, that at a time of distress and being mistreated, she took shelter of the Supreme Lord and pointed her son to the Supreme Lord. But definitely she also received the mercy because her son was a fully surrendered, pure devotee of the Lord. So when I saw the topic of a magic basket, I was first wondering, what am I going to do with the magic basket? Then I was thinking, what shall I do? Shall I be a magician and pull a rabbit out of the hat? And everyone will applaud. I think, what should I do with the magic basket? Then I thought, is it Sachinandan Swami's magic basket who calls a question and answer box where people put notes, the magic basket? Or what is it? Then I saw the poster, and I saw that on the poster there was a picture of that Pulinda lady who came to Krishna and who was coming door to door selling some fruits. And Krishna, as a child, when he heard that she was selling fruits, came out of the house and he brought some grain in his little hands to exchange for the fruits. But because he was very small, he dropped all the grains on the floor. They all fell through his hands everywhere. So in the end, he had nothing left. But she didn't mind. She just simply just piled him up with fruit. He was so nice. And then when she looked in her basket, the basket was filled with jewels. So And they said, ah, it is Krishna's magic basket. It is the magic basket of that Pulinda woman that was filled with jewels by Krishna. This evening we are speaking about the jewels of Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is stated that one should dig in the mines of the scriptures to collect the jewels from there. So it is interesting that jewels are available, but that one has to dig. One cannot expect that the jewels will just plop, fall out of the sky. What was that? I think most of us have grown beyond the level of dreaming like that. And we know that if you want something, you have to work for it. You have to make a sacrifice. Digging in the mines of the scripture means a sacrifice. Isn't it? That's a fact. So, sacrifice is there. In spiritual life, we have to make an endeavor. It is said that the deer does not run into the mouth of the sleeping lion. Although the lion is very powerful, extremely powerful. All the cell phones must be turned off. And if the cell phone keeps on ringing, I will confiscate it. And if you wonder how I'm paying for all my international travels, then now you know. Okay. So be warned. When it comes to cell phones, I am merciless. Whenever they ring, it's mine. Yes. So the magic of Krishna, on the one hand, it is said one has to make a sacrifice. One has to expect that some offering has to be made, and that Krishna is not cheap. That Krishna can decide when he wants to reveal himself to us. It's not that Krishna is obliged. I chanted 16 rounds for 1 year, and then Krishna came. He had to come because I chanted for 1 year 16 rounds. No. You can chant for 10 years, for 20 years, for 50 years. You can chant for a whole lifetime, and if Krishna doesn't want to come, he doesn't come. Of course. So in this way, sometimes we feel that spiritual life is all about sacrifice. Sometimes we feel that the sacrifice is too great, greater than we can make. Hare and Krishna. We cannot look right. We cannot look left. It's only chanting, only Krishna. Regulative principles on all sides are boxing us in. One cannot go forward, backward, left or right. In all directions, there are prohibitions. It seems that the sacrifice is too great. Can we realistically do it? It's attractive. Bhajaniya Guna Vishista, Krishna is definitely attractive. We feel like worshipping him, but then the sacrifice appears to be too great. Greater than maybe we can make. Is it so? That question does arise. Sometimes we think that Yes. Yes, I have full faith in Krishna consciousness. I have full faith that the Bhagavad Gita is the truth. I have full faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but I don't have full faith in myself. Can I do it? Sometimes this doubt arises. I have no doubt in Krishna, no doubt in the process, but I have doubt in myself. No, that is also doubt in the process. Because then we think that Krishna doesn't have the power to change us as he likes. It is by magic, simply by magic, that Krishna can change our heart. Today we cannot do it, tomorrow we are flying. Lord Chaitanya said to Vakreshwar Pandit, he said, "My dear Vakreshwar, your dancing is so extraordinary." He said, "You are like my wing. If I would have two of you, I would fly." It means that the dancing of Vakreshwar Pandit was so extraordinary that Lord Chaitanya himself was swept up in it and felt lifted up by it, and just himself felt lifted up way into the sky. In this way, Vakreshwar's dancing was of such a nature that it captured the Lord's heart. So, everything becomes possible when it touches the heart. What is difficult becomes easy as soon as there is taste. What is a sacrifice is no sacrifice at all if one has a strong desire. When there is a strong desire, sacrifice? What sacrifice are you talking about? Climbing over mountains, climbing over canyons, swimming over wild rivers. If you have a desire, no problem at all. No problem at all. In this way, it is taste. It is taste in devotional service that makes everything magic. And there, where there is no taste, everything is dry, and everything is austere, and everything is struggle, like in a desert where the hot sun of lust burns on our head and we are struggling. So, taste. Taste is a key. Srila Prabhupada is describing in the nectar of devotion in the introduction. The nectar of devotion, if any book could be called the Krishna Conscious Handbook, then it is the nectar of devotion. Because it is exactly spelling out what to do and what not to do. It is exactly explaining to us how to conduct a spiritual life. And what it explains is very simple. It is explaining Akila Rasam Rita Murti. Krishna is Akila Rasam Rita Murti. He is the personification of all varieties of rasa, of taste, of relationships that are full of taste. And the devotees, the liberated devotees, they are having such relationships with Krishna. For the liberated devotee, Krishna is always present. The liberated devotee is always living in his relationship with Krishna. From moment to moment, he sees Krishna everywhere. Once I was preparing a little seminar on the topic of prayer. If you keep on yawning, I'm going to throw water at you. Once upon a time, I was preparing a seminar about prayer. And I looked in different scripture, and of course, I also looked on the internet. Where else would you look if you're preparing something? So, Swami's also. But selectively, huh? Selective. Not just anywhere and everywhere. No, no. Selective. And then I came across a site, a Christian site, dedicated to Saint Anthony. And it was full of prayers. And someone had written there, whenever I pray, I feel how far away I am from the Lord. And I was thinking, no. No, that's not our prayer. That is not our prayer. Whenever we pray, we feel how close we are to the Lord. That is Krishna consciousness. But some may say, well, that is my prayer. That may be. So what to do? The fact of the matter is not only is Krishna close, Krishna is here. Krishna is present. Krishna is always present. Very simple. Very simple. And as soon as we chant the name of Krishna, then Krishna is manifesting himself to us right away. That we should understand. Therefore, this feeling Krishna is far away, that's not a fact. Krishna is right here. And when we are chanting, Krishna is also present. Krishna is present. I just spent a month in Mayapur, and that is my time for rest and bhajan. Being in the holy dham, naturally, everywhere is the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dham, he is manifesting his nature. And therefore, within Sri Dham Mayapur, we see everything is in abundance. Nothing comes in small portions. Small portions don't exist. Everything, nothing. Nothing is small. Everything is big. Everything comes in abundance because it is the nature of Mahaprabhu to give in abundance. He doesn't give small portions. He doesn't. Big. When he serves prasadam, more than five men can eat. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything in abundance. And we see in the dham, in Mayapur, when flowers grow, they grow huge, right? Big. When everywhere we see the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so much worship, so much glorification. It's everywhere. One cannot even catch all the mercy anymore. When one runs to one side and misses out somewhere else. It is like that. There's mercy everywhere. And everybody gets some. And that is the nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Abundance. So in that holy dham of Sri Dham Mayapur, one can naturally get the mercy of the Lord. So my strategy was that let me rise early. Let me rise early because in Mayapur, all my lectures are in the morning and during the day and not in the night. So I have no reason to stay up in the evening, go to bed, and then rise early. Not there is early, and then there's earlier, and still earlier, and then earlier, and a little bit before that. And that's like such a nice time. The world is asleep. No one, no botheration. There's nothing to do, nothing else to do but to chant. It's not the time to do any business or get things done. The only thing to do is to chant Hare Krishna, nothing else. And chant before Mangalarti, peacefully. So every day I was chanting like that, and I was meditating that on two things. One was on hearing the chanting, because one must hear the chanting. Srila Prabhupada said, attentive chanting means... Attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting. I have an eye on you too. And so that's an amazing instruction. That's an amazing instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Because we all have tried to chant Hare Krishna, and we all found that it is very difficult to fix the mind. The mind is more hard to catch than a bar of soap that has fallen on the floor of the shower. It's very slippery, very slippery. Hard to catch the mind. Very hard, isn't it? We all have experienced Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the mind is on the other side of the planet. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The mind's between the stars. And it's Monday and the mind is already on Saturday night. Hare Krishna. So in this way, the mind is wandering here, there, and everywhere. And it is not so simple to keep the mind focused on the chanting. We are all experiencing. We all know. So everyone has said, well, the root cause of all offenses against the holy name is inattentive chanting. That is the very root cause of all offenses against the holy name. Therefore, somehow or other, we must chant attentively. It's a struggle, isn't it? It's hard to capture the mind. But Srila Prabhupada's instruction to hear ourselves chanting is actually a way to catch the mind. Simply try to listen. And then automatically the mind is controlled. So don't put the energy in trying to control my mind. I'm trying to control my mind. Control tower. Okay, control, over, control tower, yes, trying to control the mind, the mind. I saw a video, actually it was more like this. There was a devotee and he was sitting and chanting, and behind there was a video, something projected on the wall. It was just an empty wall, and the camera was looking at the electric socket. That was all, and that was the backdrop. And this devotee is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. Serious. And then suddenly behind, it's Hariba, and it's himself. He appears himself on the screen, and he begins talking to him. Come on, come on, don't be so fanatic. Right. You are very tired this morning. You went to bed so late last night. That's like, maybe a little rest and the quality of your chanting would improve. And just a little, yes. And then, you know. Hungry. So like this, the mind was really going strong. And again, you know, this devotee, very powerful, says, no. And then comes the final attack of the mind. Did you download your email? And then, whoop, the computer is there in the hands, you know. And in this way, then, you know. And then suddenly you see that, like, the power cord is now in the socket that was on the wall, right? And, well, you know. So he continues chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. After all, we have two hands. So, in this way, the good Lord gave us two hands, right? And that must be his arrangement, yes. Well, it's only one hand that's busy with the beats, so what do you do with the other one? Attentive chanting, that is the big issue. And Srila Prabhupada's solution is simply hearing ourselves chanting. Instead of trying to capture the mind, instead of the big fight with the mind, it's just the ear. Hear. Hare Krishna, are you hearing? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. So early in the morning, earlier, and even a bit before that, I was trying to hear the holy name, but not just hear the holy name, but also appreciate that Krishna was present, that Krishna was right there, that not I was just alone with the mantra trying to hear the mantra, but that Krishna was right there. Krishna was personally present right there. And if only I would have the eyes to see. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it was very nice, a nice meditation during this last month on the chanting of Hare Krishna. Because it is a fact that if we chant in such a way that we remember Krishna and that we experience Krishna is present, then we'll always experience that Krishna is present at every time, wherever we are. And that is the truth. That is the fact. Somehow or other, we are in illusion. And we think, Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is God? Anybody seen him? And we all think we haven't seen him. Of course, to see the Lord face to face is not cheap. Prabhupada spoke about this topic of seeing God. This topic came up so many times, and journalists would ask questions about it. Can you see God? And Prabhupada said, yes, I'm seeing him all the time. You can also see God. Oh, yes, well, then you show me. And Prabhupada said, all right, I will show you, but first you have to try one more time. Try one more time. You can't miss the darshan just because a little cry. It's okay. You were so close, and then you missed out. Yeah, go. Yeah, I think so, too.
crying in ecstasy. No, that's very good. So Krishna is like that. He is exciting. So the journalist was asking about seeing Krishna, and Prabhupada explained, yes, you can see, but first you have to prepare the eyes to see. Like now you have cataract, you are blind. First you have to develop the eyes to see Krishna. Atasi Krishna namadi nabhavit krayam indriye sevam mukhe jivadu swayameva spuratyada. One cannot see the Lord with the blunt material senses. No. One has to develop spiritual vision, like Sanjaya. Vyasa prasadat shruktavan, by the mercy of Vyas, by strictly following him, then he got the sakshat darshan. Then Sanjaya, he saw. So in this way, we will eventually, after we are purified, we will still see Krishna face to face. And that is an overwhelming experience. In Bhagavatam, there are many examples of personalities who saw Krishna face to face. Dhruva saw Krishna face to face. Narada Muni, when he was the son of the maidservant, he saw Krishna face to face. Gajendra the elephant, Krishna came. And so on. So many examples. So that can also happen to us, but maybe at present we don't. We don't see. And therefore, for us, Krishna still seems far away. But even if we cannot see the face of Krishna, because the doors are closing, then still, we can see the hand of Krishna. And the hand of Krishna we can see everywhere. So many things are happening. That's more than coincidence, if you know what I mean. And everyone in his life can see the hand of Krishna. More than coincidence. Especially when we begin to serve Krishna. Then these things happen. Just when we had a question in our minds, we open a book and there's the answer. There it is. Again and again, that happens. Or other things may happen. Krishna may teach us a lesson. He may teach us a lesson. Many years ago, I got some sweatshirt with a hood like that, and it said on it, BBT Sports. And it was not an ISKCON production. And I said, just see, you know. Because I'm a preacher, you know. By Krishna's arrangement, I got this sweatshirt. I was thinking. I didn't say it. And then I got a hat. And inside there was a label. And it said, the big, big universe. And I said, just see. I'm a big preacher now. And then within days, I lost both the jacket and the hat. And then I got a new one. And on that one, it said, there were letters here, and it said INQ. And I knew what that means. It meant, is not qualified. And that jacket, I had it for years. I couldn't get rid of the thing. I couldn't get rid of it. It wouldn't wear out, you know. It seemed as if it was spiritual. This is the nature. So, Krishna, we can see Krishna's hand. We can see how he arranges so many things. He plays with us. He is showing us. He is teaching us. He is with us. We can see Krishna. In that way, we should, when we think that there is no taste in Krishna consciousness, and that it is all about austerity and all about sacrifice, and we cannot see any nectar, then maybe we should open our eyes. That might help. Because it's hard to see when your eyes are closed. I'll give a bit of an example. Imagine that a feast is being served out. 17 preparations, each one of them delicious. And it is served out traditional system. Everyone is sitting in rows and they go around with buckets and they're serving out in the roads and so on. But it happens to be so that you are sitting in the bed row. And just, you know, when they are serving, they start with the rice, but no sabji. Hey, baba, sabji, sabji. No sabji. So you're sort of munching on your rice. Sabji. This line, no sabji. Then the sabji is finally coming, and then the puris are not there. So you're munching on the rice and the sabji, and then it's puri. Puri, puri. Puri garam, puri, puri. And the puri is not coming. And each time it's like that. We are missing out in this preparation. And when it's gulab jamans, gulab jamans. Gulab, gulab. Gulabs. Finally, we get the gulab. Sweet rice. What a feast, what a feast. You know, it's our day, our lucky day. And by the end, you've taken the whole meal and you haven't tasted one bite. You haven't tasted anything. Because all the time you were thinking of the next preparation and you ate everything, your belly is about to burst and you didn't taste anything at all. And this is how we are practicing our Krishna consciousness. When there's the darshan of Radha Gopinath, we stand in front of the deities and we just sing every morning, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. And meanwhile, our mind is going, Govindam Adi Purusham, what will be for breakfast today? That's the situation. That the taste is there, but we are inattentive. We are not only inattentive chanting, inattentive living. That is our problem. We live inattentive. We walk through the world with our heads in a cloud. And we don't see what's going on. Life goes by to the left and to the right. And we don't notice anything that's going on. That is the situation. You are all laughing too much. And I am very serious. So we must just simply relish what is there. It's there. It's all here. There is so much nectar.
But we're just walking through the whole process of Krishna consciousness, and the biggest problem is that there's no taste, and it's so austere, and so difficult, and so on.
Because we are sleeping. We're not watching what is there. We're not going for the juice when it's there. It's everywhere. There is taste, and all we need to do is to be more attentive. Let us try and discover where is the taste.
This is the fact. In Krishna consciousness, one must become a nectar hunter. One must be a nectar hunter. One cannot just wait. When will it come? I am practicing the bhakti yoga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I am practicing the bhakti yoga. Yes, I have a slok for every occasion, but I keep my eyes closed. I don't actually see the sweetness of Krishna, which is everywhere. So let us just appreciate. Let us appreciate the good that is there in spiritual life. Gauranga, the time. When do I stop? So Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. And when Gauranga came to my room, we were speaking about Lord Chaitanya. And we were discussing a verse where it is said that the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are thick, like condensed milk. And it said, and Krishna is like the camphor in that condensed milk. So let me share that meditation with you for a moment. Thick, condensed milk. What are these pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? We know, Sankirtan, chanting, dancing. Thick, condensed milk. Thick, quality. Sandra Nanda Visesatma, the density of that chanting, it is thick, it is happening constantly and with enthusiasm and life and just Kirtaniya Sadahari everywhere. The holy name is heard everywhere. The glorification of Krishna is going on. And then descriptions about the qualities of Krishna. And we are hearing and discussing Lord Nityananda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the dream of how he dreamt of Lord Nityananda, who was there like intoxicated with rolling eyes in a deep voice chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. His limbs restlessly moving like an elephant surrounded by many cowherd boys who were also chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. In his hand, a red iron stick which he was restlessly moving around. Lord Nityananda dressed in blue silks and endless opulence. That Lord Nityananda chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Constantly glorifying Krishna, thick like condensed milk, not sometimes chanting, I'm doing my bhakti yoga in the morning, because morning time is the best. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Every day I'm doing my bhakti yoga. But it doesn't work. Well, maybe it works, but slowly. And the rest of the time, I am just, I'm part of Mumbai. And what can be said, right? This, I was,
I've got a bike. I've got everything that's part of Mumbai life. It's a party city of the world. Mumbai. Huh? It has now the reputation. Number one party city. I have heard, yeah. Bombay. Mumbai. That's number one. Yeah. People come from all over for the parties. So, of course, we are doing bhakti yoga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, whatever may be, we don't live a double life, but still, we are also caught up a lot in the everyday routine of a Bombay life, and in between, we do bhakti yoga. Yes, no, we have to get absorbed. It has to become... That is what you call condensed milk with lots of water in it. Huh? You know. And then it's not so condensed anymore, if you know what I'm talking about. It has to be thick. It has to be thick. So we have to make this chanting thick. We have to do it again and again everywhere. Everywhere, even on the bike. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Somehow or other, wherever we go, we must chant at all times. Yes. Chant in kirtan, chant alone in peace, wherever we are, somehow or other, the holy name. And then hear about Krishna, hear about the qualities, the pastimes of Krishna. In this way, the taste will naturally be there. And by entering into this mood of Lord Chaitanya, then we can appreciate Krishna properly and purely in all his nature. That is the idea. Krishna is the camphor and Lord Chaitanya the condensed milk. So is our spiritual life like condensed milk, or is it like typically all the milk that you buy in the market, milk with water? That is our question. So we must get real condensed milk. And the more we make our milk condensed, the more nectarian it becomes. There is one kind of sweet rice which is known as Amrit Keli. It is like, Keli means it's playing. It is like a play of nectar on the tongue. Amrita is nectar. Amrit Keli. This sweet rice, you know how to make sweet rice? Shall I tell you? Maybe I should tell you. Maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but maybe I'll tell you. It is said the perfect mix of rice, sugar, and milk is 1:2:16. One rice, two sugar, 16 milk. There you go. Then, some people, when they make sweet rice, they put the rice in and they boil it. And when the rice is sort of cooked, sweet rice, hogya, ha-ha, badiya. Put some of these almond flakes inside, and there you have it. And then they let it cool down, and when they serve it out, then the rice is at the bottom, and the milk is at the top. That's useless. That's not sweet rice. That's milk with rice. That's useless. Real sweet rice means you have to stir. You are there, and you're stirring and stirring and stirring. And when milk is on the fire, don't leave it alone, not for a second. Stay there and stir and stir and stir and stir and stir and stir. And stir it up. In this way, we are stirring and stirring, and gradually the water in the milk, the natural water in the milk, begins to evaporate and it becomes thicker, and the rice is cooked, and then the two sort of begin to merge into one substance where you cannot separate the rice from the milk. It has become one. Now don't keep on stirring and stirring and make it thick like rice pudding, right? It still has to be liquid,
But one substance, that's good sweet rice. But that's not Amrita Kele. And Amrita Kele, what you do is when it gets like to the perfect substance, you add more milk. And then you boil it down again. You keep on stirring. You stir more. And then at one point, the rice just begins to dissolve. And at one point, you cannot even see the difference anymore between the rice and the rest of the substance. It has become one paste. This is Amrita Kele. And you can get that only in one place in the world, namely in Ramuna. In Ramuna, where the deity is known as Kira Chora Gopinath, or the deity that stole the kheer. So that must be good sweet rice if even the deity is stealing it. He stole it for his devotee, Madhavendapuri. And when Madhavendapuri got a pot of that sweet rice, he ate the sweet rice, and after that, he also ate the pot. Serious. Every day he broke it, and every day he ate a little piece of the clay pot. If the Lord has stolen it for you, then that's the right mood. Anyway, this Amrita Kele, that is what we require. We have to make our spiritual life Amrita Kele. We have to make it more thick. We have to boil it down more. First, the quantity. More time with the devotees. More service. More chanting. More kirtan. And then the quality. The quality. Improve the quality. Try to become a real servant. Try. And really bow down to the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. In that way, we can gradually get the taste. That's the trick. So, it's not cheap. It's not a matter of walking in and walking out. It's not instant. But this is what we want in this world. Nowadays, people have instant coffee, instant everything, instant enlightenment. I'm already chanting for 3 days and still no prem. I think it doesn't work. No. One has to stir and make it thick, rich, and fill one's life with worship of Krishna. And that's very nice because he is Bhajaniya Gunavisista. He is irresistible. The closer you get to Krishna, you have to worship him. Okay, so that was my mixture today. A mixture of some serious instruction mixed with a good dose of laughter and some sweetness, some intimidation. And double intimidation, the cell phones. I haven't heard a cell phone ring. But if one rings, I'll come to confiscate it. Don't forget. Or if you want to donate it to me, then I will take it also. No problem. You can donate other things also. We will all use it in the service of Krishna. So, it is a great pleasure to be here with you and to spend some little time. because this time is bringing us all closer to Krishna. I get a chance to speak about Krishna. You get a chance to hear about Krishna. And that's simply what we have to do. It's so simple. Once Srila Prabhupada said in England, he said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might just miss it. And I like that statement. You can think about that. It's so simple, you might just miss it. So I thought, let that be the closing statement of the evening. It is actually all very simple. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. We make it difficult because we are difficult. But Krishna consciousness is very simple. You just have to relish, actually. It's very sweet. So, any questions? Okay, the arms are shooting up. Like, especially, you were very fast there.
Hare Krishna. So before we start the question and answers, we would like to thank His Holiness Kadambakanand Swami Maharaj for this very ecstatic evening. And let us thank Him by loudly chanting. So we are very happy to announce that there are devotees who have come for the Nishtha camp from Pune, from different parts of IITs and NITs. We would request all of them to please stand up. So these are all youth from different parts of India in engineering college. Let us welcome them by loudly chanting.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Kindly have your seat. On January 15th, we are going to have the next Prerna festival, and the speaker will be His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And on December 14th, from 6 to 9 p.m., there is going to be a very unique event. We are going to have an event organized by the Bhaktivedanta Hospital Youth Foundation. It is an awareness about the AIDS disease and various ways by which the youth can be educated about this.
And I was leading the kirtan, and then Gopal Krishna Maharaj came and said, "Oh, we have a rock band. We have a rock band." I was thinking, a rock band? You know, what do we need a rock band for? And then he took me to the rock band, and there was this big flat truck with a rock band on it. And then he said, "You should go up there." I said, "No, it's okay, it's okay." "No," he said, "no, you should go up there." So he had me up there for 1 hour with the rock band. So I can testify, they're quite good. They're really good, actually. And they chant Hare Krishna. So it's authorized, authorized band. Yes, your question.
Maharaj, you have told that we have to be patient for while stirring making our Krishna consciousness thick. But like if you took the example of making sweet rice, but like while cooking we get at least some smell that something is cooking. But in Krishna consciousness, how to get that?
No. It has to be offered to Krishna. So. No, we don't do that. But yes, there is. It's not that we have to wait a lot in our spiritual life. There is taste immediately. There is taste immediately, and the taste becomes thicker and thicker. The taste becomes increases. But there is taste on the first day. Just look at the deities. It's wonderful. Just be with devotees. Where do you find people like devotees? You don't find everywhere in the world. People are lying. They're cheating. Everyone's cheating all day long. You have to watch out. You know, why someone comes to you in the street, starts talking. Yeah, yeah, he wants my money. Yeah. Like this. This is the whole world is like that. But here, it's different. It is different. And even if they want your money, they want it for Krishna. So then that's also good. But more than your money, they want you. They want you. They want you. And they have your interest in mind. So devotees are such nice, nice people. Prabhupada's books, they are actually so deep and so full of very nice answers, stories. They give us so much understanding. So when people say there is no taste and we have to, it's just austerity, I think it's more like being in the feast and not seeing all the preparations that are on our plate. Yes, later on, maybe at the end, one day we'll get the Amrita Keli. But until then, there are many nice tastes. There are so many inspirational things that are
So we must open ourselves more to appreciate what we have. Count your blessings. Just count our blessings. That is what we should do. We should find the blessings and count them. Actually, very many good things. Count the blessings of Krishna consciousness. So many blessings. Other question? He said we do it for a few minutes, so we have to do it quick. Yes.
Gurudev, it happens that we are practicing Krishna consciousness and sometimes we get taste, we enjoy a particular service like japa or kirtan or something. But that same thing, sometimes we feel very bored, just like in chanting. We try to chant one round, then our mind thinks, when is this round going to end? This, that, so many things. Why is that sometimes we get taste, sometimes we don't have taste?
The reason is that we are still under the influence of the three modes of material nature. And therefore, sometimes when we are more in the mode of goodness, we may get some more taste. When we are covered over by passion and ignorance, we'll have less taste. But one thing we should remember, whether there's taste or no taste, in all spiritual activity, there is a dual dimension. There is the dimension where we are here, where sometimes we have taste and sometimes we don't have taste. And then there's the eternal dimension. And whatever we do in devotional service, there is so much benefit on the eternal dimension. So that is always there. Even at the moments when we don't have taste, at least the eternal spiritual benefit is there. And when we remember that, then even at times of no taste, we can still be inspired. Yes. And therefore, that eternal dimension one has to always keep in mind. And that eternal dimension is more important than anything. It's like after a while, we become attached to that. You know, to doing activities that always have that eternal dimension of mercy connected to it. And if there's no mercy, not interested. Like a pizza, you know, lots of cheese, lots of everything. If it's not prasadam, we're not interested. So it's like, you know, it misses the eternal dimension. But prasadam, that's different. It has a dual dimension, and both are good. So in this way, there is always taste. When there is a lot of austerity, then at least we can take shelter in prasadam. And believe it or not, that was not a joke. That is actually a very serious element of taking shelter. We need prasadam. Oh yes, we do. So in that way, everything will be perfect. Other question?
Ruchi, how can we avoid ourselves being overwhelmed by...
I missed it.
How can we avoid ourselves being overwhelmed by mode of passion and ignorance?
Tadara jastamo bhava kamalobhadiyas chaye matei vititan viristittam satpapasidati. That devotional service purifies the heart and eventually will rise above the influences of passion and ignorance. So it is at that stage that we'll conquer these lower modes of material nature. What do we do when we haven't reached that stage as yet? Then all we can do is try and live a regulated life. And a life which is in a regular schedule, which with proper activities as a matter of duty. Then we get some handle on this ignorance and passion which is there in our consciousness. Because regardless of what the mood is, we have our fixed activity. So that is called Vaidhi Bhakti. In the beginning, we engage in rules, in devotional service according to rules and regulations, all at fixed times in a regular schedule. And then, with time, we'll rise above these lower modes of material nature and become fixed in pure goodness. It will happen. Not because of our qualities, but because of the power of devotional service. It will happen. Somebody here in the front. Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, you mentioned that even if we cannot see the face of Krishna, we should try to see the hand of Krishna in every situation. So how can we nurture that particular thing?
Well, there are so many. When we look at nature, then it's very obvious that there are extraordinary powers in nature. We're here almost on the ocean. Where does this all this energy from the ocean come from? Endless waves for thousands and thousands of years, just continuing. Where does this energy come from? Endless energy. The sun, endless power, endless heat, and so on. So in nature, we can easily recognize Krishna. Then also just see how Krishna provides all the energy for all the lights in Mumbai. In these ways, we can see Krishna behind everything. Then we study scripture, and scripture helps us to understand better. And we see how the creation takes place, how Krishna expands himself into Balaram, how from Balaram comes the first Chaturvyuha, how he expands himself in Narayan, a second Chaturvyuha, Mahavishnu manifests, from the pores of his body come all the universes, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu enters, and from his navel comes a lotus flower, Lord Brahma appears on that navel, on that lotus flower coming from the navel, and creates the rest of the universe. Interesting that it's sort of a lotus flower coming from the navel, because our birth is also connected to the navel. So like that, the scriptures gradually make us see how everything is going on by a personal arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he kindly, personally involves himself in every aspect of our life. So, by remembering the scripture, we can see Krishna more and more. By logic, we can see Krishna, the power of the sun, the power of the sea. By scripture, we can see Krishna. Then, we can see Krishna in the devotees. Because we can see how the devotees are changing by serving Krishna. Just now, I heard Pankajangri was here. And, these brothers, what have they done with their life? They came when they were young, and they spent their whole life worshipping the deity. And what happened? Right? What happened? They became transformed by the deity worship. The very fact that they became so transformed and so exalted by deity worship proves that the deity is God. If there was any doubt, look at the result. So we can see Krishna in the devotees. We can see how Krishna worked in his devotees and how he changed his devotees. And in this way, we're seeing Krishna everywhere. So we see Krishna through logic, we see Krishna through the scripture, we see Krishna in his devotees. And in this way,
gradually we taste Krishna in prasadam, like that. Yeah, we taste. So everywhere, we hear Krishna's presence when devotees are engaged in kirtan. So like that, more and more we can see Krishna like this. More and more.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class, Maharaj. This I have some question about your statement in the lecture about sometimes we feel that spiritual life means sacrifice and we have to do too much sacrifice. But other side, I heard that we receive when we give more.
We what?
We receive more when we give others more. That's sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the when I want to enjoy myself, like sense gratification, then I suffer that. But if I try to give others some Krishna consciousness, like Prabhupada said, then you know, we will receive more happiness. So in that way, I want to know this, how to reconcile these two statements.
Mm. In the beginning, sacrifice is austerity. In the end, that very sacrifice is the source of the nectar. Sometimes I tell the story, it's an analogy that I have, with my creative mind, made up myself. But it's not speculation, because in the end I will support it with scripture. So, when we first get involved in Krishna consciousness, everyone is given a little nectar cup, but it's very small. Tiny little nectar cup. And yes, it's good. It's a nectar cup. So you catch a few drops of nectar here and there. But your cup is very small. So quick, throw it next. And you get something. But because the cup is so small, it's never enough. But it's good. It's good. That's the beginning. And then as we keep on practicing our devotional service, little by little, our nectar cup is growing. A little bit. Little bit. So we get a bit more. And then one day we start to use this nectar cup, and instead of drinking all the nectar ourselves, we start to give nectar to others. And then, and in between, we drink some ourselves. And then we find that our nectar cup is growing much faster. And then in the end, it's become like quite a serious cup, and we scoop up lots of nectar. Here it is, and here it is, and then drinking ourselves, and then it becomes more and more ecstatic, you see. So like this, in the beginning, a sacrifice is austerity, but later that very sacrifice becomes nectar. Not easy, but because it's hard work to bring it to others, because they say, no, I don't need. We say, no, please take. No. And I say, no, you take. Take it. Somehow or other, we have to get people to take. So it can be a little difficult to get them to take, and there's a sacrifice. But in the end, it's very satisfying. Scriptural basis for the nectar cup story can be found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, where it is described that if one gives out the mercy that one finds, if one gives away all the mercy that one has, one finds that one has more than he had before. So this indicates that by giving out the mercy, our capacity is growing and growing and growing. So that's enough scriptural basis for my analogy. Okay, Gauranga, what are we doing? So, the very last and the last has to be the best question.
So I'm not looking here now, I'm looking everywhere now. I see a huge crowd in all directions, and who has a question from the heart? A real question from the heart. I'm not interested in a question from some technical question. I want a question, a real question from the heart. Deep, from your toes. Who has a question from the toes? Real, a deep question. You really have, huh? You also. You all have deep questions. Okay, now, I'll ask him then, which one shall I take? This one. Okay, well.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
They're good friends. They came together.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful lecture. I wanted to know, you told that we should feel presence of Krishna while chanting.
Yeah.
So, but in other context, I read Srila Prabhupada told that we should chant in mood of separation. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told that he was feeling that Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam. Hmm. So, what is the difference between these two? Because while chanting, we may feel presence sometime and mood of separation. Means it becomes difficult to...
Okay. No, it's nice what you're saying. First of all, I didn't say we should feel the presence of Krishna. We should remember the presence of Krishna. Because there's a difference between the two, between remembering and feeling. Because we are not so advanced that at this stage our feelings are so deep in relation to Krishna. But we can remember it. Krishna is here now. Well, then, with time, when feelings start to grow deeper in, as we are advancing in chanting, feelings in relation to Krishna start to grow deeper, then such feelings as separation from Krishna will be there, even when we are chanting, which means Krishna is present in his name, still we feel separation. Because we're feeling that such a strong desire to be closer to Krishna. So the devotees who have this feeling of separation, they're always remembering Krishna. They're day and night, every moment, absorbed in chanting, in remembering, in hearing about Krishna. And they feel separation because they still want to be closer to Krishna. Because they have such eagerness to be with Krishna that it's never fulfilled. And therefore they feel separation. Yeah. So that's a very advanced platform, a symptom of bhava. It means one has realized samutkanta, which is the symptom of great eagerness to always remember Krishna at every moment, to always be with Krishna at every moment, to just... always explore the qualities and pastimes of Krishna in total depth. But because now we are not chanting in bhava, therefore we're not so focused on the feeling, we're more focused on the remembrance at present. So in our present state, it's good to meditate on remembering Krishna is here. Because otherwise, we're just chanting in this room and everything. Krishna's in the spiritual world, and that's far away. And I hope he's going to hear me. But if we remember that Krishna is actually present, then it will improve the quality of our chanting. Therefore, it's good to, in our present conditioned state, to simply focus on that. And later, and later, and later, as we get more purified, then we can feel the separation from Krishna. Still a few more minutes. Okay, your friend is close. You're too far in the back. By the time the mic gets there, the lecture will be over. Yes.
Maharaj,
You told means while condensing the milk of our devotion, means that our tendency to do prajalpa with our friends, it comes, means that reduces our consciousness. So how to avoid that tendency to talk prajalpa means?
Prajalpa. Mundane association. Well, it's amazing how easily we slip into discussions on mundane subject matter. It happens very easy, even amongst devotees. I'm now not even talking about people at work, but I'm talking about devotees. So, as devotees, because we are not so deep in our Krishna consciousness, we often slip back in former social patterns and discuss in that mood. So what I'm recommending is that we spend more time together just having kirtans, hearing lectures, etc., like we're doing now. Afterwards, we will have a little time to ourselves, and then a little pajalpa might just slip in, you know. Now we are hearing, we're chanting. So in that way, let's come together, read a little bit from a scripture, chant some Hare Krishna, learn some bhajans, have some kirtan. These kind of things is what really will lift us above pajalpa. Because otherwise, due to conditioning, even sometimes amongst devotees, there is a lot of mundane discussion. I just think, do we really have to talk about this? But we do. We do. Out of habit. One minute. Yet, when you sit in the back, you're so far away from the mic will never reach you, but he's going to stand up now. Okay.
With two hands.
Oh. That question cannot be answered in 1 minute. It can be, but it's devotional service came to me. I didn't come to devotional service. I tried to avoid devotional service because when I first saw the Hare Krishnas come into my town, they came in a gray van, and it had a flap door that opened at the back, and many little pink men came out, too many, if you know what I mean. So I was concerned. Then they made a line, and they came in our direction, and I quickly went into a shop, and I looked from behind the glass, and someone said, "It's a dangerous sect," and I thought, they sure look dangerous. 3 months later, I saw them on TV, and someone said that explained the four regulative principles, no meat, fish, egg, gambling, intoxication, and finally it said no illicit sex. Then I knew they were dangerous. So from that time on, I decided to avoid them as much as possible. So I didn't come to devotional service. Devotional service came to me, not in the form of a book, as you might have thought, because I recognized the book distributors, and I didn't go for it. Then what happened was I became involved with a girl, which is not surprising. And then Krishna got me through the dog of the girl, because the dog's name was Krishna. What can I say? So then I was always walking with this dog. Krishna, 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 come here. And at night, the dog wouldn't come. And I would be calling, Krishna! And I would go around the block. And in that way, I would do Harinam every night. That's how devotional service came to me. So it came and then more and more into my life. And finally, one day I received the Maha Mantra. I met a musician who had been in India. I had also been in India, and we were playing ragas, something. And then he said, let's do some mantra. I said, yes, let's do some mantra. We did some mantra, and he started to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This musician's name was Burton Green. Later, I was reading the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and I read that in the matchless gift storefront in the early days, there was one day the devotees had found the string board of an old piano and brought it in. And there was a piano player who used to hammer on the strings, and his name was Burton Green. So I got the holy name actually in parampara. So little by little, it came into my life more and more. And it started to create a red thread. Krishna was in my life. One day, there was a Hare Krishna sitting next to me on the bus. And I was scared. And I went into the wall of the bus. And he looked at me and saw a hippie. And he was also scared. And he never spoke to me. And I never spoke to him. But I remembered him. If he would have spoken to me, maybe I would have joined sooner. But anyway, all this Krishna in my life began to create a red thread, and gradually that created a whole network. And before I knew it, one day I met someone who said that in Vrindavan there is an amazing temple. It is really nice. Here, take this book. And I read the book, and somehow or other I went to Vrindavan. And I came there, I came to Mathura. And as I came to Mathura, I said, is Vrindavan close? People said, oh yes, very close. Can I walk? Oh yes, no problem. 20 kilometers. 20 kilometers. I mean, I wasn't used to that. And then I came to Vrindavan in the evening. And as I approached Vrindavan, there were no people on the road, only cows, somehow or other. And I came into Vrindavan, and there were maybe like many, many cows on the road walking to Vrindavan. I walked in the town through the Prabhupada gate, and I came to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, and it was just time for aarti, and they blew the conch. And then the doors opened, and then it... and then we were in the spiritual world. I'll stay here.